This is Fresh Air. David Johansen now performs in the persona of Buster Poindexter, a lounge lizard-type crooner who has attracted an enthusiastic following in the pop music world. But before he slipped into Buster's skin, Johansen was the frontman for a proto-punk band called the New York Dolls. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward says their initial sound and style gave new energy to the music.
Come on, boys!
It was 1973, and to a lot of us who had been following rock and roll for some time, it looked pretty apparent that rot was setting in. The Beatles were being deified by people who had held their noses when they'd first come on the scene, and the Rolling Stones were the oh-so-decadent darlings of high society. Bands like Yes and Emerson, Lake & Palmer were threatening to bury us under albums full of pretentious sludge. The alternative was the high-volume, low-IQ sound of bands like Grand Funk Railroad. A lot of us agreed that what we needed was a nice infusion of trash.
Trash won't pick it up. Take them lights away. Trash won't pick it up. Don't take your life away. Trash won't pick it up. Don't try to take my knife away. And please don't you ask me if I love you. If you don't know what I'm doing, what you know is trash. Pick it up, take them lights away. Trash, won't get it up, don't throw your love away. Trash, won't pick it up, don't try to take my night away. And please don't you ask me if I love you. Cause I don't know what I do up my nose. Trash, pick it up.
The New York Dolls were made to order. They arose out of the Mercer Arts Center, a performance space that had become New York's hot avant-garde location. It was too hard to get a rock and roll scene going in Manhattan's clubs, thanks to the oppressive cabaret card laws, but this bunch of malcontents was doing just fine at the Mercer. They shared space there with another band called Kiss. Critics dismissed Kiss when they noticed them at all, but they loved the Dolls. Frontman David Johansen took sexual ambiguity further than Mick Jagger had dared, and Johnny Thunders, the guitarist, looked and acted more like Keith Richards than Keith ever hoped to. No record company would go near them, although they were packing the Mercer with the New York hip-wazee night after night. They'd alternate their own originals with oldies from Johansen's record collection, like Bo Diddley's Pills. Unfortunately, the drug humor, which was cool for its time, was all too real. The Dolls' first drummer, Billy Mercer, died during their first tour of England of an overdose of pills and alcohol, and both bassist Arthur Kane and guitarist Johnny Thunders have had well-publicized run-ins with heroin. For many people, though, this just solidified the Dolls' reputation as the bad boys of rock and roll, badder than the Stones, even. Finally, Mercury Records decided that the Dolls were worth taking a chance on and signed them. Todd Rundgren produced their first album, and a legend was born.
Better day, the he what she's got to say.
Songs like Personality Crisis showed that this was a world-class band whose pretensions were limited to the makeup and weird clothing they wore on stage. They toured, and they were roundly hated, except in cities like Detroit, where they liked their rock and roll nasty, and Los Angeles, where they understood somehow what this band was all about. Their second album was entitled Too Much Too Soon, which was intended to be an ironic title, but proved to be fairly accurate. There were very few original tunes on it, and if possible, it sold even less than the first album. The Dolls lost their recording contract and soon had a new manager, a British fellow named Malcolm McLaren. He dressed them in red leather and draped a communist Chinese flag behind them. The band broke up before this new image could get too far, and McLaren went on to put the Sex Pistols together. David Johansen made a number of wonderful solo records, which were also ignored. Still, if you hang around Los Angeles these days, you may be shocked to see how many New York Dolls-style bands there are in the clubs. Of course, the original is still the greatest, in my opinion, and I'm glad they were around to help keep rock and roll honest in the bad old days of the 70s.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle.
And you're a prima ballerina on a spring afternoon. James Arne Tudor, the Wolfman, howling at the moon. Ow, out of personality crisis, you got it while it was hot. It's always hot, you know it's frustration.
This is Fresh Air.